Welcome to Sideline Sleuths, a true crime podcast all about the tragic yet fascinating cases no one can seem to get enough of. I'm Megan.
And I'm Jasmine.
We're so glad you're listening. If you like being an armchair detective, you'll love being a Sideline Sleuth. Today we're going to talk about the 2018 unsolved murder of a California man named Yaakov Dulcich. Now, I watched a lot of YouTube videos of news coverage about this case to try to learn how to pronounce that, so I think that's it, but if it's not, I'm sorry. Anyway, this case was actually suggested to me by my younger brother, Denver, who read about it on Twitter and was like, okay, so this is crazy, and I bet Megan would be interested in this story, and he knows me very well because he was right. And the entire time I'm researching this case, I'm saying out loud, but who would want to kill him, like, audibly to anybody around me? I must have told, like, a dozen people about this story because I was like, y'all, like, who would want to kill Yaakov? So, honestly, I still can't figure it out. And I don't know who or why he was killed. Like, I don't even have a single guess. And that's never happened to me before. So,
I am pumped.
Let's get into it. Yaakov, who was born in Argentina but was actually Croatian, was the founder of the California-based company called J.P. Dulcich & Sons. If you Google that company, a page comes up called Pretty Lady Vineyards. So Yaakov was a grape farmer. And that brand is what they are best known for. You might know this company from their Harvest Hobgoblin grapes that are in supermarkets this time of year. Well, Yaakov was murdered on April 11th, 2018, and his killer is still unknown. First, I want to give you a little background information before I tell you what we know about the case. Yaakov and his first wife, Antoinette, moved to the United States in July of 1960. Once here, he worked for his uncle, learning to farm and grow grapes. Soon, he began saving money to buy land of his own because he wanted to start a vineyard. In 1995, Pretty Lady Grapes was born and, according to their website, has since, quote, become one of the most popular and beloved grape brands in the world. End quote. While growing their grape business, they were also growing a family. Yaakov and Antoinette had three children, a girl and two boys. Yeah. Today, their two sons, Peter and Nick, run the family business in Yaakov's absence. Okay, so who would want to kill this elderly grape farmer?
You gotta look at his picture too, guys.
So if that's what you're thinking right now, just wait. Yaakov was 85 years old at the time of his death. He was actually killed the day after his 85th birthday. According to the Kern County Sheriff's Office, he was killed when an occupant of another vehicle fired shots into Yaakov's SUV while he was driving. He was shot multiple times, with one report saying as many as six shots were fired into the car, and Yaakov being struck as many as four times. This 85-year-old man, like, my grandma's 89. Like, I just keep being like, who would want to shoot my grandpa?
I feel like a lot of 85-year-olds aren't even on the road.
Yeah, that's true. My grandma hasn't had a license since, like, before I was born.
He was, okay, so he was out there, still active.
Yeah.
This active senior, getting it.
Growing some grapes, driving a Range Rover.
Classy.
Yeah. Police responded to the scene a little after 8:20 the morning of April 11th, following a report of a traffic collision and a shooting. So the account goes that, quote, the two vehicles were taking up both lanes of the road, so a third vehicle, traveling northbound, pulled onto the shoulder to avoid a collision, end quote. That third vehicle was a PT Cruiser driven by who we will refer to as the Lone Witness for the remainder of this episode.
Oh, epic name.
Yeah,
okay.
The Lone Witness. Yeah, I feel like it should be a movie. The Lone Witness. This actually could be a movie because it's that freaking crazy. So here's what the Lone Witness says happened.
Okay.
A Kia and the SUV driven by Yaakov were coming towards him, taking up both lanes of this two-lane road. The Kia was evidently chasing Yaakov's SUV. So this guy, the lone witness, swerves off the road to try and avoid the accident. And then he begins to record the event for Snapchat.
Oh my gosh, America. Yeah. Okay.
But then Yaakov's SUV also swerves and ends up crashing into lone witness's PT Cruiser. So I guess he's just like at that point, like F Snapchat, like stops recording because like this just happened. So then the driver of the Kia stops, not crashes, but stops, gets out of his car and he proceeds to then shoot into Yakov's SUV, killing him.
What?
So this seems like a real life, like not a movie, but like a real life legitimate assassin.
Yeah, I was going to say this is an assassination.
This is an assassin. Like how important do you have to be before your death is not a murder, but it's an assassination? Is it just like if there's a hit on you, it's an assassination?
Yes.
Or if you're the president, like that's the two things. If you are like a public figure.
I feel like
a hired kill is an assassination. An assassination to me.
Chasing him down the road?
Yeah. Maybe at first glance, it looked like a road rage incident that went too far.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I feel like maybe he's like just old man driving, which is, we all know, kind of like a little bit slow.
Yeah, no questionable. But the deeper I got into the research, it seemed to me, at least, that someone had obviously put a hit out on Yakov Dulcich, an 85-year-old grape farmer.
Say more. He is rich.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. How lucrative of grape? He drives a Range Rover.
I feel like having a vineyard and, like you said, those hobgoblin grapes.
Oh, yeah. Those are pretty popular. Famous. Yeah. So, but why did they do it? And who did it?
I don't know. Yeah.
So, according to the lone witness, there were two men in the...
You just like... Yeah, I love witness. It so yeah. much.
So, according to the lone witness, there were two men in the silver Kia. The shooter and the driver are the same person. And then he had a passenger who was clearly not pulling his weight in their crime.
Like, do better.
How are you like driving binder. And shooting? And he's just like...
just chilling.
Like he's the DJ or something? Like, I don't know.
Oh, my God, Megan. So good.
So the shooter says to the passenger, let me kill this guy too, referring to the lone witness. And then the shooter starts chasing him. And he says, he like points the gun in lone witness's face and says, you didn't see anything, before he pulls the trigger, but the gun did not fire.
Yeah, because he unloaded it on the poor 85-year-old man. Yeah.
So now this is a direct quote from an article on the incident. Quote, the witness said the shooter pointed the gun at him at point-blank range and pulled the trigger, but nothing came out. The two then fought, and the witness grabbed the front of the shooter's sweater and pulled it over his head, end quote. Now, in the thread on Twitter that my brother saw, the original poster, which is a woman named Katie, she was like, if that isn't the most Three Stooges thing I have ever heard in my entire life, but like, whatever, I guess it worked, and he got away and went to the police. She actually said a cuss word, and then I switched out for a thing because I'm trying to keep this family-friendly, or as family-friendly as a murder show can be.
Wow, but, could you imagine, Megan, in the heat of being... You just got shot at, and if there was a bullet in the clip, I don't know gun language, but you would have been dead. And would you think...
No.
Let me grab your hood.
Like, yank your sweater over your head so that you can't...
I would just cry.
Yeah, I don't know. I would have just been like, well, my time has come. Like, and that's why I should not be involved in grape... I don't know, shenanigans.
Grape empires.
Yeah, out of the grape business for me. So I'm going to put the link to that Twitter thread in our source list if you're interested in reading that. And, like, you should definitely read it because you, if only for, like, the Charlie Day graphic at the end or, like, screenshots of the article where he's like, and then I just pulled a sweater over his head and the girl's like, what? Yeah, read it. You won't be disappointed. Wow. So lone witness told police that while he had the gunman subdued with the old sweater over the head maneuver, that his plan was to hold him down until the police arrived. But then he started to like get worried about the passenger actually doing something. So then he just ran away. He like ducked off through a nearby vineyard.
Right, because his car is
crashed into, yeah. So, and then the Kia and the two suspects fled the area. And workers evidently heard this commotion and they're the people who called 911 and the cops came and they're like, what?
So this isn't a secluded road whatsoever?
No.
It just assassinated someone on a public road?
Yeah.
That is a like 8 o'clock traffic?
In the morning, yeah.
Who in, except for people who are bold and professionals.
Yeah, or dangerous stupidity is what we called it the other day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is our new spinoff show that we're trying to pitch to anybody who's listening to this. BuzzFeed Unsolved Mysteries, hook us up. So, not long after the lone witness successfully escaped what appears to be a legitimate assassin, police located a burned-out vehicle that matched the description of the silver Kia involved in Yakov's murder. So naturally, investigators want to seek out that car's owner. But what they end up doing is arresting the owner's 24-year-old son, a known gang member named Mariano Perez. So Mariano adamantly denied knowing Yakov, having like any working history in a vineyard. He's like never worked for Yakov. He never worked in Yakov's field. He never did anything for Dulcich and Sons. Like he has no idea what you're talking about. He actually stated quote, "I have no reason to kill an old white guy," end quote.
Well, he's being direct.
Yeah. So, initially, the lone witness picked Mariano out of a lineup. So, that's Mariano covering his face in his first court appearance. And then that's a photo of him, which looks like it's from jail, but I don't know.
Well, he looks nice.
Yeah, he's a good smile, but anyway.
Okay, Mariano.
So, initially, the lone witness picked Mariano out of a lineup as being the person who most closely resembled the shooter.
Oh.
But still, Mariano denied any involvement or even knowledge of the crime.
If there weren't certain parts of the story that were able to be corroborated, I would almost feel like the lone witness was Looney Tunes and made this up.
Yeah.
But even the, what are the chances that a car can be traced back to you and someone almost picks you out of a lineup?
Yeah, that seems like way too coincidental. Yeah. So.
The lone witness? I got more questions for you. I wish I knew you were.
Yeah, we can't, but they're not going to identify him and you will figure out why. So Mariano suggests to police, maybe someone just stole my mom's Kia to commit this crime and
it's totally
coincidental. Yeah. So he did, though, say, yeah, you're right. This evidence is really looking like I did it, but trust me, I didn't.
Okay, Mariano.
So Mariano was charged with multiple crimes, including first degree murder. And the other three felonies were shooting at an occupied vehicle, attempted murder, and possession of a firearm by a felon. However, later the lone witness would say that Mariano is not the gunman.
Lone witness?
Apparently, he picked Mariano out of a photographic lineup. So not the people behind the two-way window looking thing.
Okay.
And he said that he was told by investigators that this lineup would only be used to generate a lead and was not him actually identifying a shooter. So that when he circled a picture, it was more like a heading. I guess it was a Hispanic male who kind of looked like this. Not him saying this is the guy.
Also, the instructions before the photo lineup were poorly administered.
According to the lone witness. So he circled Mariano and then he thought he was not identifying him as the shooter. And because that's what he was allegedly told, he was just saying, out of all these pictures here, this guy looks the most like the dude I saw. And then cops ran with it. And they were already familiar with Mariano. First off, they knew the Kia was his mom's. And then he had this known gang affiliation in the area. So police, I guess maybe were wanting to pin it on him.
Oh, Megan, but the other angle on that is kind of sketchy. If Mariano is involved in gangs and this witness is backing out?
Yeah.
That is a very clever way to back out.
Yeah.
Of identifying him so he doesn't get murked on the side.
So, we'll talk about this. Lone witness recanting his lineup identification didn't stop the state from proceeding with the charges against Mariano, though. He was arrested a few days later, I think it was April 14th, in a traffic stop. However, other than the vehicle that Mariano's mom owned, technically, there was nothing that linked Mariano to Yakov's murder, or even to Yakov. The lone witness reported that the gunman did not have any tattoos, but Mariano had several visible tattoos, both on his head and his neck. The prosecution explained this by saying that those tattoos were concealed because the shooter had on this sweater, the one that was used to pull over his head. So you didn't see them, but he still had them. And the lone witness was no. Originally he said that the shooter was noticeably shorter than him. He said this from the jump. And then he and Mariano are the same height. So a lot of stuff isn't adding up between what the lone witness is saying and Mariano's physical description.
Okay.
So since the beginning, Mariano denied any involvement or even any knowledge of the crime. Police also noted that he was unable to provide any insight as to what the motive could be, which is not surprising for a person who says that they're totally in the dark. Why would he have, giving them, but I didn't kill him, but I bet whoever killed him did it because blah, blah, blah. Makes you look weird. So.
Makes you look like OJ.
So even though, if I did it, even though he is a known gang member, what does his gang want with this elderly grape grower? So prosecutor Ken Russell said, quote, "Investigators traced the suspect vehicle to Perez, who he said was caught in multiple lies to investigators. Perez lived down the street from where the killing occurred, wasn't working at the time, and had the opportunity," end quote. But that hardly seems like enough to try someone for murder, especially if you listen to the episode we did right before this one, which is the murder of Austin Colson, where they had 84,000 things connecting a suspect to the murder, and they just, they decided to.
I don't even know. They arrested him.
Yeah, I don't even know what they decided to do because I don't know what is less productive than doing nothing. But in Vermont, the cops were like, whatever. And in California, they were a little overeager. And they just were like, oh, he said you sort of look like the guy, and that's your mom's car, so you are the guy. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of an odd coincidence. But because they were too eager to pin it on Mariano, they lost the case. And that makes sense because the person that we are literally referring to as the lone witness, like the only person who knows anything, said that's not your guy. So one article said that when called to testify during the trial, the lone witness reportedly looked at Perez and said in the courtroom, he is not the shooter.
Wow. So,
on September 13th, 2018, the jury reported that they were unable to reach a unanimous verdict in the case.
Well, I mean, I feel like that is the definition of reasonable doubt. Definition. If the witness is like, nah, don't recognize him.
So, like, there can be times when you, like, know somebody did something, but you can't prove it. Like, you have to still do your job. Like, don't you, like, I don't know, I've never been on a jury. Yeah. Don't you, like, take an oath or make some kind of promise or something? That you're, like, going to uphold the law? I don't know. So, like, really it says you like have, it has to be beyond, yeah, if there's not, like, great idea, United States. So, if, I don't know why I don't know that. So, there was reasonable doubt, definitely. So, they were deadlocked, 11-1. And one person not wanting to say not guilty, and the other 11 saying not guilty. So, they were just one vote away from reaching an acquittal. And originally, the prosecution said that they were going to retry this case later. But rather than doing that, they just dropped the charges against Mariano, and he was released from jail.
Well, either you're super sure or you are not, guys. Yeah.
So despite the trial ending in September, Mariano wasn't released until November. I actually think November 5th was the year anniversary of the day he got released from jail. And that was because the whole time they said they were going to try him again.
Oh, and then, so they just held him?
And the 11th, well, they were going to do it like in November. So they were working on the case. So he's being held without like whatever the money you need to get out. Yeah. And then like the week before, just days before that trial was set to begin, they were like, JK, we're not going to do it. But they did say that they would reopen it later if new information came to light. So April, Yakov is killed. September, Mariano is found.
He's a mistrial?
Like a mistrial, yeah. Hung jury. And then in November, they release Mariano from jail. So I know I say a lot of I know what you're thinking's in this podcast. But today, I can honestly say that I have no idea what you're thinking.
Girl, we don't know what we're thinking either.
But I can tell you what you're probably not thinking. You're probably not thinking that less than a month after all of those felony charges against Mariano were dropped and he was released from jail, that he himself would be murdered. But that's exactly what happened.
What? This all started with some delicious grapes?
Yeah. So on
this is wild
crazy. Monday, December 3rd, 2018. So next week, just a few days, it'll be the 1 year anniversary. Mariano Perez was found dead with what investigators were simply calling quote unquote traumatic injuries. But his death was classified as a homicide. Initially, law enforcement did not release much information about his death other than the traumatic injury statement and that his body was found in a field off of Highway 155, but the coroner's report stated that he was shot multiple times, which is exactly what happened to Yakov.
Yes. Is it the same highway?
No.
No. But a highway, nonetheless.
In the same general area, less than a month after Mariano's is released and the charges for Yakov's murder are dropped.
So, retaliation murder?
People close to the case, including Mariano's public defender, for Yakov's trial, did not want to speculate that the two murders are connected, but did say that Mariano never expressed a fear for his safety, and he was excited about going home, being able to be home for the holidays. So it wasn't like he was like felt like he had to watch his back or anything. Mm. So are the two murders connected? Like, my gut is telling me that yes, but I still don't know who would put a hit out on Grandpa Grape Grower and also the gangster who could have went down for the crime. Like, what is going on in the vineyard?
It must just go down out there. They just must be, stay away. I don't know, grapes of wrath? I don't know.
Oh my gosh, I say grapes of wrath later. I love her. So even after the charges against Mariano were dropped and he was released and then, you know, became a homicide victim himself, the prosecutor for the state said that it was still the opinion of their office that Mariano was the person responsible for Yakov's murder, but that they also believed there was another unidentified person who was driving the Kia. Which, first of all, the lone witness said he isn't the shooter, so... what? And then, secondly, the lone witness said that the shooter and the driver were the same person. Like, the guy gets out of the Kia and shoots into the Range Rover. Yes. So aren't you looking for an unidentified passenger?
Yes. Then?
And lastly, why do they care not at all what the lone witness is saying when he is literally the lone witness, like the only person who knows anything, and they're just, I don't know. I actually did see one article that said the passenger got out and did the shooting, but that contradicted literally every other article I read prior to that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But
So what you're saying is the police are thinking, and I might just have missed it. So the police are thinking that potentially the other person that participated in this crime, even if it was just to be the DJ, mm-hmm. is involved?
So they're thinking that two people are responsible, that Mariana was the passenger and shooter, and the other guy was the driver chasing the Ranger.
Yeah. Okay. But that doesn't line up with the alone.
And my other question is, what happened to the Snapchat video?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Remember when I was like, I feel like this could all be made up. It's so wild.
Yeah.
And I'm like, show
me. I mean, there's been times when I've closed my app and then I come back and whatever I was doing is gone. And you're like,
yeah.
Technology. But like, what a time for it not to work.
Agreed.
So, in the script, I give subheadings to all of our little sections. And this one is called The Grapes of Wrath. And I know that that's actually about the Dust Bowl in Oklahoma and like migrating westward for employment.
Quite the same it's not topic.
Really fitting, but it fits because. Guess what happens next?
There's a next, baby?
Yeah, oh my God.
I already feel like we had a lot of shocking twists and turns.
This is a movie. If they don't make this movie with one of our names, like Grandpa Grape or The Grapes of Wrath or something, then I'm going to be so disappointed. So let me tell you a story about a man named Rodolfo. So Rodolfo lives in McFarland, California. And in March of this year, his house was the target of a drive-by shooting. The shooter fired at least 30 rounds in that attack. Police recovered more than 24 shell casings from the shoulder of Highway 99, not the same highway. And then an additional matching evidence from outside of Rodolfo's home, which is on the fronted road of Highway 99.
Jeez.
Anyway, Rodolfo told investigators that prior to that incident, he was shot at two other times while driving home from work.
What kind of stuff is going on in California?
I don't know. And he said he didn't know who was behind these three separate shootings that he was the target of, but he did disclose that he was either an employee or a contracted worker for Dulcich & Sons for 25 years.
What?
And currently, at the time of the drive-by, he was a contracted worker for the great people. Cue ominous piano music, because what the literal hell?
I don't understand. It's just grapes.
It's just grapes.
I mean, they're grapes, but then they turn into, I mean, it's a vineyard. Do they make wine? Yeah.
So I don't eat grapes because I read this book, because I'm a librarian, called Zombie Haiku, and they compared eyeballs to grapes, and ever since then it's been lost for me. Jasmine, and now we're done. So I just can't eat a grape because I imagine that's what an eyeball must feel like to eat. Like,
okay.
Cannot do it. I read that book, like, 7-something years ago, and I still can't do it. So people are like, oh, but cotton candy grapes are great. I'm like, cotton candy eyeballs. Like, can't do it. So who put out a hit on Yakov Dulcich and one of his employees? And then who killed the man that they thought killed Yakov?
There has to be some, like, crazy HR stuff going on at this vineyard. They got to be, like, just stuff that's being swept under the rug.
Like an Indian burial ground, pet cemetery. Like, something's going on over there.
Yeah, but I feel like there's such a rage that is very,
Okay, so the next subheading is called The Raisin Mafia.
I'm done with you. The Raisin Mafia.
But the worst part is, I did not come up with that name.
Oh, are you kidding? No. Is this circulating the internet
yes.
webs?
Okay. So before we jump into theories, I just want to tell you about the Raisin Mafia. And sometimes I wish our episodes had funky title names rather than just victims' names, because this episode has so much potential.
It really does.
So this comes from an article entitled The Raisin Situation. One man wanted to change the raisin industry for the better, and he got more than he bargained for. Now, this is an article in the New York Times.
So legit.
So in 2017, this guy named Harry Overly became the CEO of Sun-Made Raisins, which makes up about 40% of the $500 million raisin industry.
Okay.
And raisins are made from grapes, for anybody who didn't know that.
No, we got to connect the dots just in case. They got to follow.
The U.S. raisin industry is really concentrated in the Central Valley in California. So, like, the same area. So 3 months on the job, Harry meets with what was described as key players in the raisin industry, which
that sounds... Harry's the guy that just...
He works for the... He took over as CEO of Sun Made Raisin.
Oh, Sun Made, sorry.
So 3 months in the job, he goes and meets with these mob boss raisin guys. I don't know. And he said, quote, "I'm not saying this lightly because you can read about this in different spots. People kind of think there's this raisin mafia out there," end quote. So he went on to say that everything that was discussed in that meeting that day was, quote, "completely illegal," end quote.
So, I feel like you can't say the sentence, "people seem to think that there is this raisin mafia out there," and not explain yourself.
With
a straight face? Okay.
I was mentioning it to our other coworker earlier, and I was like, so I have this really awful headache because, like, I'm just, like, deep in this rabbit hole about this raisin mafia. She's like, what? So I'm trying to explain it to her, and I was like, who knew that this was how it was? I don't know. Nonetheless, Harry still wanted and tried to make some changes at Sunmade and in the raisin industry itself. And let's just say that it did not go well. The article states, quote, "Mr. Overly said he faced intimidation, harassing phone calls, and multiple death threats," end quote.
Over these raisins? They talking about how to dry them?
It was a pricing thing. Someone even left a note.
To raise the price of raisins?
So someone even left a note at his front door that said, "you can't run." And at this point, he has a very pregnant wife, and he's like kind of freaked out a little bit. And he decides to get a security system at his house and even starts discussing the need to have active shooter drills done at the Sunmade headquarters. Because he is like that concerned that someone is going to like target them or him
over
because he's trying. There's this like little.
Raisins.
Yeah, some. There's like a, you know, I don't know. Maybe like, okay, in the library world, I'm not that old. And I'm like one of the younger librarians. So sometimes I'll be like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, we can totally do that. And like older librarians look at me like, how dare you suggest that? We've always done things this way and this is how we're always going to do it. Not like in my current district, but like because we're cool here. But other places people have been like, look at the young one coming in here with her technology.
Coming in
so
hot.
Like, so this guy, Harry's only 38. So he's like a pretty young CEO. And like they said in the other key players, he was like half their age. So this young guy's coming in and he's...
Ari Yakov.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, yeah, the other guys are like old, like Jacob, sorry. And then Harry's 38. So he's coming in there and he's making changes and they don't like it. Like it's...
Interesting.
So he then starts to worry that someone might even harm the raisins themselves.
Heaven forbid raisins get harmed.
So he thinks like he's...
Listen, wine, grapes, sure, protect them. Raisins?
Yeah, I don't eat raisins. I don't know. I also don't eat grapes.
I feel like everybody needs to take a step back here.
Are we talking about raisins?
We're talking about raisins.
Like, yeah, I don't know. So he's worried that someone is going to, like, set fire to the crops. Like, these are legitimate fears. This man, we need an active shooter drill. So I'm about to burn my raisins down. Like,
dude.
So despite all of this, like, the raisin industry isn't what it used to be. You would think it was because... There's a mafia.
There's a hostility that I could not have imagined.
Me either. Like, I kind of want to go buy some raisins, honestly. Like,
honestly, yeah, I'm getting a craving for raisins, yeah, too.
I can't
not
even
if
use...
the price is higher, though. No.
So, the United States used to make up about 50% of the entire global raisin market. But now it's only like 20%, and Turkey actually exports more raisins than we do here.
Congrats, Turkey.
So, there's a raisin bargaining agreement. It's called the RBA. And it's like where they set... prices at a certain thing, and like even though everybody in the raisin industry seems to hate each other, like they don't want to work together in any way, like Harry called it like nothing short of like collusion, like they're not friendly, but they will at least agree on the fact that they should overcharge people for some dried up grapes. So there's this bargaining agreement, and Harry wants to undercut the number, so he wants to lower the price of raisins,
right?
Which is why I might go buy some Sunmade raisins today. But basically, he said that, like, we had more raisins than we had the year before and, like, even more raisins than the year before that. So, like, supply is, like, going up. And he's like, I don't know what economics y'all do, but, like, when supply increases, the price doesn't increase with it. Like,
yeah,
the price should go down because we got so many raisins. But these people are like, nope, we actually want to charge more for raisins.
Right.
And Harry's like, all right, I don't know why you old people can't math, but, like, we're not going to do that. So he wants to set a different price, and then there's, like, this conflict. And he said he received, like, 6 death threats. Price of raisins.
You're messing with their money. I understand that. But I also feel like...
It's raisins.
You're right. Yeah, there shouldn't be. I got a lot of questions. Guys, yeah. I think in the interim, while we're trying to figure out what's going on with this, I think we got to hold off on our raisin consumption.
Yeah.
Even if you get a raisin crepe, I think you got to curb it. Curb it.
I don't know. And this just
drink wine.
Drink wine, yes. Still consuming grapes. So could whatever's happening in the raisin industry be happening in the grape world? Because, after all, seedless grapes are what's used to make raisins. You're so right. Between the years of 2000 and 2019, the acreage that grape growers, I guess, were setting aside to make Thompson seedless grapes for raisins, which are the ones most commonly used, was cut in half. So they, like, severely reduced their acreage allotment for raisins. So Pretty Lady Vineyards does grow seedless varieties, but I don't know if they're anyway, if they ever become raisins. Like, I don't know if they have their hand in that. But, like, it makes me think that the grape industry is very cutthroat. And, like, what choice could they have made that led to this murder? Like, something as simple as, like, and, you know, we're going to give you less space at the vineyard for your raisins. And then they were like, uh-uh. And they, in the words of Jasmine, murked him.
Yeah, I got straight murked. Just all the way murked. This is very interesting. So I feel like it's, again, very touchy. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think the wine thing is going to solve the problem, guys. I don't really know. I'll think more on it.
Think more on it while consuming a little now. We're boycotting.
Well, maybe if wine helps you think, then I think let's get down to it.
So there's been a lot of people online generally being like, what? So there's not a lot of theories, but here's what because like everybody's like, I don't even have a clue. Like me, what? I don't even have a clue. So here's what I have seen. Now, remember, this is all speculation, and if this is a hired hit and not like a real professional, it would be more like a local gangbanger is what they're saying. Because they just did a terrible job. Like, you left a witness. Did a
bold job.
Yeah, I guess so. So this theory is saying it is a hired hit, but it's a local gangbanger. It's Mariano Perez is the shooter. Let's just say that. But he's obviously really sloppy stupid. So the lone witness correctly IDs him. And then the whole story later, like you said, where he didn't know it was like a legit lineup and he thought it was just like a heading, is totally bogus. So he picks Mariano out of a lineup correctly. He is subsequently arrested, and his gang affiliations track down lone witness and use whatever tactics gang members use to get him to recant his testimony and get Mariano out of the situation because Mariano can link to them. Yes. So he does that, and he's like, JK, not the shooter. And then the gang people kill Mariano because he is a loose end and a terrible hitman.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
So none of that explains why Yakov and Rodolfo were targeted in the first place. Yeah. But it does explain why Mariano was killed and who killed Yakov, but not why he killed Yakov. And it's not the who or the why about Rodolfo, but that happened like after Yakov and Mariano anyway. So like lone witness correctly IDs Mariano, but then gets intimidated out of changing his mind. And then
that was my gut on it.
Yeah, that's what you said like minutes ago. And then he gets out of it. He gets acquitted or not acquitted, but like they just drop it because it was a hung jury. And then they kill Mariano anyway. That actually makes a lot of sense. But like still does not tell us why.
What was the rage about?
Why did it all get started? Why did Mariano, why was he executing this hit anyway?
Yeah, and who, I don't know, is that typical? Like if you're going to try to put a hit out on someone, why do you get like a young kid gangbanger? Why wouldn't you get... I mean, I don't have access to real professionals, and I wouldn't know where to find them. There's not an assassin phone book, but not a like an assassin Yellow Pages. Also, it's 2019. We don't have Yellow Pages. Well, we do, but we do. Nobody uses
nobody
them.
Nobody does,
So, I just,
How would you even go about finding them? Like, how would you... Okay, let's get to that theory then. So, another theory is that the Dulcich brothers ordered the hit on their own father. Now, like, I don't think this is what it is, but I also don't think anything about this. Like, I have no opinion.
Yeah, it's but, really so this a is just conundrum.
Dulcich brothers, I don't think you murked your dad. Like I said, murked twice today. But somebody on the internet thinks you did. So this is not official at all. This is not, like, investigators have never at any point said the brothers are in on it. But Reddit said that maybe the brothers wanted their dad out of the mix because they wanted to run the show, and he's 85, and he's still real active, and he's not showing any signs of stepping down. So Rodolfo is their employee, and they use him as like a middleman to orchestrate the hit because, I don't know, somehow he can get in contact. He has an Assassin's Yellow Pages. But I can't – I don't know a link between Mariano and Rodolfo, but maybe they know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, whatever. But anyway, so the brothers – ask Rodolfo to have their dad
killed. And, like, maybe they're like, hey, we'll give you some insurance money. I don't know. So the hit is carried out, but Mariano gets identified. So then the brothers are pissed because things look like they're unraveling. And that's when they fire Rodolfo, who goes from being an employee to just a contractor. So he, like, loses benefits and all that kind of stuff. And then Rodolfo's, like, pissed.
Really thinking.
Yeah. Well, Reddit was really thinking. Okay. So, because this is not my brain. But, like, now that I've heard it, I'm like, I wish I had thought about that. So Rodolfo's pissed, and then he starts blackmailing the brothers, but then the brothers shoot his house up to scare him into shutting up.
Wow.
But it only sort of works, because then he tells the media, but yeah, I work at Dulcich & Sons, and this is a huge, big, great murder conspiracy.
Oof.
I don't know. So,
it's a hot, whole mess.
There were several people suggesting that it was just drug-related, like, well, California borders Mexico, so it's just cartels, crime spilling over the border, but, like,
it doesn't explain why they shot an 85-year-old
man. It doesn't. And McFarland, California is 270 miles away from the U.S.-Mexico-Pacific border.
I didn't know that specifically, but yeah. I looked it up. I'm like, do better, guys.
And I feel like if there was some sort of drug link to the vineyard, that would have come out by now. Like, if they were growing weed among the grapes or something. I don't know, or they were, like, laundering money for the gangs or something. I don't know. I feel like we would know that.
Yeah.
And they would have obviously checked that out by now, right? Like,
and then that would have... That I feel like that would have been what they did to link Mariano Perez to the...
But they didn't do any of that. They were just like, burned out Kia. You did it. Wow. So, then what is it? Like, why did someone kill Jacob Dulcich? And who are they? And is his April 2018 murder in some way connected to the December 2018 murder of Mariano Perez? And is the person who shot at Rodolfo, the Dulcich & Sons' longtime employee, the same person who killed Jacob or Mariano, or at least one of them?
It is such a monster.
I want to say some stuff, but then I'd have the F word in it. Like, cluster. Yeah. It's a cluster. So, it's been more than a year and a half since Jacob was killed, and there aren't any answers to those questions. And next week will be 1 year since Mariano Perez was killed, and that case seems to have hit a wall, too.
I know this is about to be weird, Megan, but I'm a little bit afraid. Raising overlords? I don't know what to call you. I don't suspect nothing.
Nothing, please, yeah. Don't come for us.
Yeah, we just holding off on our raisin consumption. Now, that doesn't mean...
No, but that's messing with their money. Buy the raisins.
All right, guys.
Up your raisin consumption. Buy more raisins than you've ever bought before. If Halloween hadn't just passed, I would tell you to give them out to trick-or-treaters. Buy all the raisins.
I feel so conflicted inside. Just don't come for me.
I'll buy raisins. Tell me what brand.
I will specifically try to keep your raisin business afloat, but just
double-handedly, we're gonna keep it good. So I'm sorry, I don't like raisins. Buy them and throw them away. So today, the murder of Jacob Dulcich, an 85-year-old prominent businessman in California, remains unsolved. And so does the murder of Mariano Perez, the 25-year-old man who was previously on trial for Jacob's murder. This area has a nonprofit organization called Kern County Secret Witness, and it's a collaborative effort between the community, the Kern County Sheriff's Office, and the Bakersfield, California Police Department. It's a 24-hour-a-day hotline where citizens can anonymously report information to law enforcement. Secret Witness also gives rewards to people whose tips lead to arrest and conviction in their advertised cases. And you can see what those cases are by visiting the Secret Witness website. If you have any information about either of these murders, please contact the Kern County Sheriff's Office at 661-861-3110 or the Secret Witness line at 661-322-4040. There is a $30,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and prosecution of Jacob's killer. There is no reward information listed on the Secret Witness website pertaining to Mariano's murder.
Thank you for listening to Sideline Sleuths. If you have any comments or questions about this case or just feedback about the show in general, you can find us online at facebook.com/sidelinesleuths. And if you haven't already had the chance, please rate and review the show on iTunes, Facebook, or any social media or streaming platforms available.